Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Hey, shalom, shalom. Grace and peace, everybody. How y'all doing today?
All right, Brother Isaiah. Shalom.
Hey, shalom, sis. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Grace and peace, family.
Hey, Sister
Hey, shalom. Hey, Sister Rhea. Shalom, family. Grace and peace, and welcome again to Thursday precept of the Sounds Living Water, dealing with my blog talk show that is called The Spirit of Meekness and Charity. I would like to welcome all, and hope everybody is having a great and wonderful Thursday. You know, it's a blessing to be here. You know, we could be out doing anything, but the Father allowed us to come together and hear these scriptures. So all praise to the Father on that. All praises. And today's precept that we will be dealing with tonight is called Some Shame That Brings Sin and Some Shame That Is for Glory and Grace. You know, because when I was looking at this, when I was, you know, reading the prophet and stuff like that, I came across some pretty interesting scriptures. And, you know, I'm just trying to put two and two together. You know, and the one thing that the Most High God was showing me during this precept is contract. Not the first part of the lesson that says some shame that brings sin, but we're dealing with some shame that is for glory and grace. You know, and the only thing that came across my mind, like once again, was a contrite spirit, you know, a broken spirit, you know, a humble spirit. Because whatever you have done in your life or the battles you go with in life, having a broken and a contrite spirit gives you a chance, opportunity for the Most High to make you straight. But before we get any further into the precept, are you online, Brother McCormick?
Yes, I am.
Hey, grace and peace, bro. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
That's good to hear, brother. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so we're not going to waste no more time. I would like all the sisters to please cover your head, and brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, please face east towards Jerusalem, and let's pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The principal things for the whole use of man's life are water, fire, iron, and salt, flour of wheat, honey, milk, and the blood of the grape, and oil and clothing. All these things are for the good to the godly. So to the sinner they are turned into evil. There be spears that are created for vengeance, which in their fury lay on sore strokes. In the time of destruction they pour out their force and appease the wrath of him that made them. Fire and hail and famine and death, all these were created for vengeance. Teeth of wild beasts and scorpions, serpents in the sword, punishing the wicked to destruction. They shall rejoice in his commandment, then they shall be ready upon earth when need is. And when their time is come, they shall not transgress his word. Therefore, from the beginning, I was resolved and thought upon these things, and have left them in writing. All the works of the Lord are good, and he will give every needful thing in due season, so that a man cannot say, this is worse than that. For in the time they shall all be well approved. And therefore praise ye the Lord with the whole heart and mouth, and bless the name of the Lord. I have read Ecclesiastes chapter 39, verses 26 through 35. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ooh, wait, I couldn't wait until you finished so I knew where you got that from. I'm almost there. You know, reading Apophica, man, but that was a tight scripture. That was tight, bro. Amen. I thank the Father for allowing you to read that scripture for the Blog Talk Show tonight. So thank you for that, bro, and that's just a boost of motivation, man, to keep this thing going. Thank you very much. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to tear these scriptures up to shreds, and as always, pure razor blades and lemon juice. You know, it's because I think the Father is really showing me some things about the scripture. And, you know, and definitely when you're just out and about with your life, you know, you might be thinking of your walk. You know, you might be thinking of how could you become a better servant and stuff like that. You know, those are good things. And when you read your Bible, the Lord will reveal those things to you. So these was a couple of things that I had in my heart, you know, but to keep me humble and to keep me with a contrite spirit, because we all fall short. Everybody falls short. Everybody comes short of the glory of God. We don't do things intentionally just to, you know, we try our best not to do things intentionally. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to obeying God, you know, disobeying him, we do everything in our might to follow God the best way we know how, you know. But at the same point in time is that, you know, a just man falls seven times. So you going to slip up. But when you slip up, is it to shame? To come to repentance, to come with a contrite spirit, or not? So what we're going to do first is pick this up in Apophica. Let's go into the book of Ecclesiasticus, the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 4, verses 21. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 4, verses 21. And when you get it, bro, just read that one verse for me.
Ecclesiasticus 4:21. For there is a shame that bringeth sin, and there is a shame which is glory and grace.
Amen. So which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the shame? Do you want to be the shame that's going to bring that sin? Or do you want the shame that's that shall bring glory and grace? Because reading the bottom of this scripture in verse 21, it simply says that there is a shame which is glory and grace. And I'm starting to believe and understand that this is a possibility, that this is talking about those that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Because through the scriptures, the Most High tell you, the ones that have that broken and contrite spirit, those is who he coming to get, the meek and lowly, the humble. I'm coming to get them. So when we fall short or we come short of the glory of the Most High, then we should be sorrowful. We should be hurt. We should be contrite and broken and doing everything in our willpower to not do that again. But it's the feeling. Are you ashamed of what you've done? Do you have a broken and contrite spirit? Because reading the book, you know, sometimes I think the Lord put us, if we too high on our high horses, or we, you know, might be mingling in with a little bit of pride, you know. You know, maybe we're not praying the way we're supposed to be praying. You know, the Father know how we're supposed to be praying to him, you know. And we might be slipping into some areas we're not paying attention to. Then guess what? The Lord will reveal to you the areas you're slipping in. I'll reveal it to you. You know, you was praying to me like this. How come you ain't praying to me like that now? So let me bring some back to your memory. Let me bring some shame that you done. Is it to hurt you? No. But it's to let you know that without God, you are nothing. So we're going to pick these things up. But the first thing I really want to pull out is the first part of this verse that says, for there is a shame that bring up sin. You know, so what are some of the things that's very shameful that bring up sin? Two things that came close to my mind, that came very close to my mind when he talked about this. And the first thing was pride and adultery. It's the first two things that popped in my head. So what we're going to do is read about this shame that bringeth forth in pride. So what we're going to do now is go to the book of Proverbs chapter 11. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up at verse 2. Just that one verse.
Proverbs 11 and 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom.
Hey, so when pride come, it bring what? It bring shame. And what's this definition of shame in a noun? It means a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. So when all that pride cometh, then the Lord gonna knock you down. And then he knock you down, he reveal your errors, it's gonna do what? It's gonna bring some shame. But is that shame gonna be stooped up and not talked about no more? Or is it going to make you broken, contrite, humble? But if you one of his children, when he see this pride, I'm going to knock you down, and I'm going to show you where you at. But what the scripture just said was is that when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So now let's finish looking at a little bit of this about this pride and how to, and shame in it. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 29. In the book of Proverbs 29, and all we want is verse 23.
Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Hey, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So like I said before, with this shame, when you shame, is that pride going to overcome you until you cannot be contrite or humble in front of Most High God? Or when there's strike and you shame of your behavior, are you going to get on your knees and pray and ask the Most High God for forgiveness and to strip me just to move forward? There's still breath of life in me. Forgive me, Father. I see my error. Well, are you going to see this pride? It brought you low, but you going to still keep this pride in you like you still think you all this. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to bring up some more of this. So the first thing we just checked out is the pride. You know, and shame, you know what I'm saying? It says that, some shame bring up sin. And the first part of that shame to sin we checked out is pride. Another thing I looked at is the shame of the act of adultery. So now what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 29. No, not 29. I'm going to say Proverbs chapter 5. Let's look at this other piece of shame. Now let's get a book. We're going to read the book of Proverbs chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13.
Proverbs 5, starting at the 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them crooked knee.
Right. So this is one type of shame I hope to God that I don't be dealing with, that I don't ever get involved with. You know, but one thing that we can see about this character here that Solomon is talking about is that he's at least sorrowful for it, because if he wasn't, he would have went on by his merry way. But it seems like he got himself in a messed up situation, and I'm sitting back like, man, how did I hear instructions? How did I sit up here and do this wicked folly in the eyesight of the Lord? Now compare that to some things we see in our time, in this generation. It is so common now. It's so common, it's like putting on shoes. Yeah, I did it, so what? But what about the ones that are ashamed, sorrowful, broken down, beat up, sick at the stomach, can't move? Whenever we come short, that's how we supposed to be. Beat down and broken up. And to get on our knees and really pray and be real contrite and ask the Father that's in the third heaven, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. So we got to be careful with that. And through the grace of God, we don't deal with this topic, but you know, but just using this in a manner. When you drop the ball, there shouldn't be no merry day. It should be a horrible day. And to really show God, I'm sorry for my sins. So now let's go into the book of Luke, chapter 14. So we the book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. Let's beat this prayer down a little bit more. When you get it, go ahead and read that one verse for me.
Luke 14 and 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Oh, so it says, so for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. So all that it's saying is whoso exalteth himself shall be belittled or be degraded, which is humiliated. Because one thing that the Most High do not tolerate with is pride. So when you know you in the wrong, do you have the strength to say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry? Do you have the strength to get on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you for your foolishness? Do you have the strength to ask God to, Lord, take this away from me? Because in order for you to say those things and understand you're wrong, you got to be of a meek and a humble spirit, and definitely a broken and a contrite spirit. Because dealing with that pride, that's that shame that's going to bring sin. But if you humble yourself and understand you have a, and have a broken and a contrite spirit, that's going to be that shame that is going to be for what? Glory and grace. But in order for you to get that glory and grace, you got to be humble. So now let's look at another way how God keep us in our place. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6 through 10. When you get it, go ahead and read.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the 6th. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen. And how many of us go through stuff like this? How many of us is standing in our book being an example for the Most High God? How many of us is showing people the law, statutes, and judgments and teaching people the law, statutes, and judgments? How many of us is walking around and keeping the spirit of meekness and charity on us? How many of us are doing these things? I'm pretty sure all of us, right? Or doing the very best we can. How many of us is blocking crazy thoughts left to right daily? How many of us is fighting this flesh and get away from it daily? I'm pretty sure every last one of us on this blog talk show. But how many of us have a thorn in the flesh? How many of us pray triple of certain situations we know we're not supposed to be dealing with? How many of us? How many times have we went to God and pleaded and begged for a thorn in our flesh to go away? You know how many of us? How many of us are even bold to bring that conversation up? I'm not asking you to, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it seems like I did everything. I'm coming to you. I'm praying to you. I'm asking you to take this away from me. You know, just like Paul was doing. But the Lord telling you, with that thorn in your flesh, it's making you a better servant of God. So when we understand that this issue in our life is making us a better servant, it is not saying that we just go off the bucket or we just drop the ball and just do whatever crazy in our head. No, I'm not saying that. But what I do understand is that the Most High God might not take something from you. Because keeping that over your head is going to make you what? A better servant. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to keep you more focused on me. It's going to make you do so much better at serving the Most High God when this thorn in the flesh is on you? Because if a thorn in the flesh on you and you're entertaining that, what is it going to do? It's going to make you very ashamed. It's going to make you beat down. It's going to make you contrite. It's going to make you humble. It's going to make you learn how to forgive others because you don't want the Lord bringing up your thorn in the flesh. But the whole thing is this right here. Sometimes the Lord might just leave it on you because it'll make you a better servant than the Most High God. Because you're going to be, you're going to sit back and think. You're going to sit back and fight. And everything you're doing, I guarantee you're going to do it double just for the simple fact that you hate disobeying God and you hate doing your own thing. You can do everything in your willpower to serve the Most High God. And if you get the thorn in your flesh, then A, it's making you a better servant. We just have to do the very best we can with the willpower that we have. And the rest will come in play. Now let's read some more about this. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Second Corinthians 7 and pick it up at verse 9.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness, if it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
Amen. So godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to salvation. So that's that shame that bringeth forth what? Glory and grace. That's what God wants us to do. Because it said, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that your sorrow to repentance. Right? So if you're sorry, you hurt, you're broken down, it's going to do what? If you're serving to God, you're going to get on your knees, sweat, cry, bleed, sweat, and ask him for forgiveness. But what I like so much in verse 10 is it says, for godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to what? Salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So godly sorrow is what this thing is at. And we need to be repenting every single day and getting on our knees and praying every single day. You know, the Lord might slap some on you that you might be praying super good for a whole month and then to start slacking off. The Lord might slap you with something just to get you back on your praying game. Because if you do wrong, definitely if you're serving God, it brings shame. And it's not no happy go lucky day for us. We're sitting back trying to do with what time we have left. Looking left to right. We know he's about to smack me somewhere. Let me get my prayer game up. Let me put this work in the vineyard. Let me go ahead and do a better job at keeping the Sabbath. Let me go be a helping hand to people in need. Let me go to the fatherless. Let me go to the widow. Let me see through the grace of God if I can, or if the Spirit of me can make a widow's heart sing for joy. Because if you know you messed up, you go do everything in your willpower to please the Most High God. Now let's look at some more godly. Let's look at some more sorrowful things. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. And pick it up at the one, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 51, starting at the one. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
So now we just heard the prayer of a broken and a contrite spirit. You know, David was a man after the Lord's own heart. But you see that being a servant of God is going to bring what? A contrite spirit. Because we know better. We know better. We know the law, statutes, and judgments of the Most High God. We know the do's and we know the don'ts. So if we slip up in doing the don'ts, it's going to tear us apart. I know it'll tear me apart. I'll be having a nice and jolly day, and if I slip into some stupid foolishness, I'm panicking, I'm afraid, I'm scared, broken, contrite spirit. And what am I able to do with what time I have left? But David is coming with pure humility. He's coming with a contrite spirit. But you see, this prayer is going to bring his shame into what? Glory. Because Lord, after you, because he's saying, Lord, after you correct me, then will I teach transgressors their ways. So once you show me the woes and chastise me and show me my folly, then I can go teach it to somebody else. But correct me, Lord. I'm broken. I've got a contrite spirit. I'm messed up. I need you every day of my life. After you finish whooping me and you show me and chastising me, put me in a position to show other people not to offend you. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That's how we need to be. That's how we need to be with the Most High. So let's read some more about this contrite spirit. Let's go to the book of Psalms 34. Psalms 34, we'll read verses 18.
Psalms 34 and 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
He saveth such as who? Those that suffer broken in the contrite spirit. It says the Lord is nigh. Nigh means near. The Lord is near unto them that are of a what? Broken in the contrite spirit. A broken heart. and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's that spirit you got on you when you know you're not good enough. You know, instead of sitting back thinking, I'm all right, I'm cool, I'm keeping the law, we're not like that. Because we know that if we got breath in us, the Lord still requires something out of us. But in order to please the Lord, you gotta be with a broken and contrite spirit. You gotta understand your wrongdoings. You gotta understand that we need to be on our knees praying to God daily and ask Him to take away anything that is keeping us from the kingdom. But in order to do that, you gotta come correct, you gotta come with a broken, contrite spirit, and you gotta show the Lord that you are sorrowful for your sins. That's how we got to be. Now let's read about this contract again. Let's go into the book of Isaiah chapter 57. Psalms 57, and all we want is verse 15.
Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
In order for that to happen, we got to understand that shame and that humiliation and that broken, contrite spirit, knowing you're not good enough, we got to understand that we got to be contrite. We got to be contrite in the broken spirit. We got the shame that we have, We got to go to the Most High God. We got to be repentant and ask for forgiveness. We got to. Let's read this again. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, and all we want is verse 2.
Isaiah 66 and 2. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
So are we trembling at his word? Are we broken? Are we contrite? Do we know that we're not good enough? Are we humble in the eyesight of the Most High God? No, it's just a little small lesson that the little father when we just put some on the table. A little food for thought. Now let's look at a powerful prophet in his Bible who called himself a wretched man. And he was so cold and good with the Most High, this man was using handkerchiefs to heal people. And this man himself called himself what? An old wretched man. So let's check this old wretched man out that has his broken and contrite spirit. Let's go in the book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verses 14. If we're going to read verses 14 through 24, and when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 7, starting at the 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Right. No, so, hey, it's not always a peachy cream walk all the time. I'm pretty sure we all are a ton better than what we were before we got baptized. But the same point of time is, you are human. You are flesh. You fight this thing. And through the grace of God, we fight this thing with the best of our power every single day. But Paul telling you, man, the things I know I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not doing. But the things I know I ain't got no business doing, that do I. It then turns around and said that, but even when I want to do good, evil is present with me. So you mean to tell me you can have a good deed, you want to do a good deed, but you're going to still have a battle with doing a good deed because evil is present with you? So that means we don't have the latitude to think that we're straight or we can't fall up under something. We got to be on guard every day, every freaking second of the day. Even when you go to sleep, you got to be on guard. But Paul is telling you, man, this thing ain't always peachy clean. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because this body is trying to kill you every single day. But through the grace of God, let's get better at it. Why not do better? Why not have that broken and contrite spirit and ask the Lord, Father, I messed up, but I'm still alive. You said a live dog is better than a dead lion. So strengthen me and humble me and give me the strength that I need to do better the next day. Because you know Paul had a broken and contrite spirit, because if he didn't, why would you call yourself an old wretched man that I am? Matter of fact, let me go ahead and look up this word ratchet. So now, in verse 24, it says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, right? So what he said, we call ourselves, oh, wretched man, oh, miserable man, oh, unhappy man, oh, sad, oh, broken-hearted man, oh, broken man, oh, grief-stricken man, oh, sorrowful man, oh, mourning man, oh, anguished man, oh, distressed man, oh, desolate man, oh, dispiriting man, oh, inconsolable man, which means of a person of their grief not able to comfort it or elevate. And, oh, that's good enough. We got the picture. Mourning, sorrowful, grief, broken, crying and moaning. Because sometimes it be like that. Better to show the Lord that you feel this way there to be stooped up in pride and try to hide it from him. Because by you repenting and by you having that broken and contrite spirit, now God can work with you. Now I can deal with you. Now I can lift you up because you know you cannot do it by yourself. You need me. We all need God because we can't do it by ourselves. But that's that boy that I'm talking about. I understand this pain right here that Paul's talking about. I know what he's talking about. That shame of the thoughts or sometimes in behavior is a very scary thing. So let's be mindful of that. Let's go into the last spot. Let's go into the book of Genesis chapter 32. This will be last. The book of Genesis chapter 32. The book of Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Now, we're going to read about granddaddy Jacob and to see the humble spirit that he had on him and to understand that without God, he's nothing. Let's hear this from grandfather. The book of Genesis 32, verses 1 through 11. This will be last. Will you get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Genesis 32, starting at the 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith, thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and man servant and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We come to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him in the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children."
This is even Grandfather David right here. He said, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant." That's how we need to be. When we down and out, and even when things going good, pray to God, ask God for forgiveness. You don't be shameful for the things that you have done that was not pleasing in the eyesight of the Most High God. And ask him for forgiveness. And when the Lord strengthen you and show you your error, then go out there and show somebody else what the Most High God have shown you. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen.
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 Yeah, you are so right. Sometimes we say things and even think things that we should be ashamed of. You're right. You're absolutely right. Good lesson, brother. Good reading, brother Nakomi.
Flawless reading. Max McLean, Jr.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro.
Shalom, Israelite. Shalom, Nakomi. Shalom, everyone.
Hey, shalom, bro.
Shalom, Israel. Great lesson, man. You know, we get a lot of prophecy. We get a lot of end time stuff among the brethren. But this is that stuff that, this is what God loves. You know, all that prophecy and all that stuff, that's from him. You know, 2300 days of Daniel, Armageddon, Great Tribulation, all that's from him. All that's from him. But what do he want from you? Exactly what you put out there, brother. A repentant and a sorrowful heart. You know, you got to ask yourself, man. Sometimes you got to ask yourself, when the last time you sought the Lord out with tears?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not because you did something wrong. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why we got to seek him out with tears when you're doing something wrong? How come you just can't be in his presence? Something like that. You know, but even more so, man, if you sin against him, you know, you should be seeking him out with tears, with a whole lot of wailing and crying, because you don't know what's next. You don't know what he got in store for you. You don't know what around the corner. You don't know if he going to deal with you like in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 years. But you got to take it into consideration. The Lord said, you ain't going to get away. So to appease that is that you seek him out with tears. Big time. You ain't sorry for your sins. You are walking in your pride. And you telling God, I don't give a fudge about you or your law. Oh, yeah, that's that stuff. Oh, maybe you ain't one of them people that don't. You know, maybe you just an Israelite that just, you know, it is what it is. I done what I done, and that's that. God, you know I'm weak. You know I'm merciful. He merciful. I pray to him. He's gay. You don't know. And then the sins you was reading about, brother, you don't even want to be mentioned around people that do it.
Tell me about it. Shoot. I'm going to get into some folly. Do you honestly believe I want you and Nakomi to be riding in the back seat with my foolishness? Shoot. Talk about shame on a whole different level.
Man, the stuff that you was talking about, you don't even want to be mentioning. That's what, like you said, like, man, hey, those things are even shameful to even talk about, even to mention, to even talk about it. Let alone do it. Great lesson, man. Great lesson. We can't get enough of this kind of ministry. That act right, get right, show enough right. Amen, brother. I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Thanks for that very, very powerful information. Thank you.
Praise God.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, bro. Great reading, bro. Thank you.
Thank you. Great lesson. Yeah, there's a lot of things that the Most High shows us, and it's a lot of great places he takes us, but also understand in order for him to really, really use you, he got to put you in a humbling spot. He got to keep you humble, because a lot of us, before we was doing these things and understood these things, we probably wasn't hitting on anything. Same people didn't think I had wasn't going to come to me for understanding and things like that, and understanding the Bible and stuff like that, before the Most High, revealed these things to me. So these things, they shouldn't allow these things to make you think you're more than what you are. He has to humble you in many, many ways to keep you in that spot. But I want to read a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 17:25, and like I'm saying, when we go with our sins and things, like saying, we should be real sorry, I'm saying, for these things. Like saying, even though I'm a teacher and all these things, I know we're not doing nothing perfect. So I'm going to read this, Ecclesiasticus chapter 17, in verse 25. I'm going to read 25 and 26, and it reads, Return unto the Lord, and forsake thy sins. Make thy prayer before his face, and offend less. He said, offend less. I don't want to offend as much. He said, and offend less. Turn again to the Most High, and turn away from iniquity, for he will lead thee out of darkness into the light of health, and hate thou abomination vehemently. Like I said, I hate making mistakes. He said, we should hate our abomination. We should hate our mistakes vehemently. Are you real sorry for your errors? Do these things bother you? I know they bother me. And I'm trying to, like I said in 25, offend less. Said, make thy prayer before his face and offend less. I'm trying to work on offending less and less and less. But great lesson, brother. With that, I yield the mic.
I'm here talking with the phone muted. I'm sorry. Bro, great script, man. You know, offend less.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yep. Well, bro, all the lines is open. We're... Any comments?
Well, yeah. And what I want to say is that, you know, even though when things is at its worst, go to God. You know, even when you don't even feel that you even worthy to pray to him, go to God. You know, because trust me, I've been there before. I know. Sometimes I don't even want to pray. But even if it get to that point, say the Lord's Prayer. That's in the book of what? Matthew's chapter 9 or 6. Matthew's chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Go to him.
Yes, sir.
Do not let a night go past and you ain't praying to your God.
Mm.
Because, you know, the Lord just showed us a couple of things that the prophets messed up on. Just imagine things he didn't reveal to us. Who knows? But all I'm saying is that if you still got sand in your hourglass, go to your God. Go to him. Pray to him. Ask him for forgiveness. And even the things that you allow to be the things that you allow that you know that wasn't right in the eyesight of the Most High God. Let that shame come up on you. Let that contrite and broken spirit come up on you. Show God that I'm sorrowful for my sins. And I get a mic with that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, bro, I said once, I said a thousand times, John called it. He said, show forth fruit on repentance. Repent, mm-hmm. repent, repent, repent. You know, Ezekiel said, turn from your evil ways. Turn from your wicked ways. You know,
mm-hmm.
why should we die in our sins? You know. He said he will that no man should die. But he know he going to have to put some people in the fire. A lot of people. And all you doing, brother, you're not trying to judge. The Comey's not trying to judge. We're not trying to be judgmental here. All we doing what the Most High say, warn them from me. Warn them from me. Warn them. From me. He's the Most High. And if I'm not mistaken, the Most High, the prophets call him a great and a terrible God. Great and terrible. Terrible means inside of terrible is terrifying. So don't ever underestimate his power. But what he is terrified. You haven't seen fear until he put his hands around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, bro, great lesson, great precept. Thank you for that admonishment and wake up call. Amen.
Father is merciful. May he be merciful to his filthy rag. All glory go to him. Because if I did it, we all be going straight to the fire. So let's get God to praise the glory on that.
Hallelujah.
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 Are you okay?
Bruh.
I'm okay, baby.
I'm thinking about, okay? I love you, Father.
Just want to say once again, great, great, great precept. Great, great precept. And you can catch Brother Isaiah here every Thursday night at the Sound of the Living Waters at 7 o'clock p.m. You need to get at this spiritual and meekness and charity ministry. Sit down and get you some aggregate. So with that being said, we're going to be back here tomorrow at 7 o'clock p.m. Sound of the Living Waters, the Commonwealth of Israel, myself, Job Israel, and Red Israel. And tomorrow, we are dealing with something that's very, very, very important. And Ray, I like to call it the man in the mirror. I like to call it that. I like to call it the man in the mirror. So we're going to be dealing with the man in the mirror, Lord willing.
Oh, yeah, bro. I'm so sorry for cutting you off. Do you need a reader for this Sabbath?
That would be a blessing.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, I almost cussed, but heck yeah. Heck yeah. I'm down for it. Let's do this.
Yeah. Okay. That would be a huge blessing, bro. This Sabbath, and I got one for you, so I think you're gonna be really ready for this one.
Hey, amen. As long as you're driving. I look left and right, make sure ain't no cops around.
Man, listen. I think when we get through bringing this one, bro, woo-wee. But, hey, it is what it is. Truth got to go forward.
Amen.
So,
I
need
can't
to
wait.
Come on.
You and I both, sis. I'm going to tell you, Miss Mary, I got to tell you, the Sabbath day can't come fast enough. And I'm talking about the big one. But
say it.
I gotta consider who is this? That's, hey, who is hurrying up? Who is talking about the day of the Lord? You know, what is it to us? Mm-hmm. I just be glad when this world is over with, man. Man, I ain't going to lie to you. It's so full of it. And it's getting worse every minute. Oh, it's so awful.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible for you not to be tainted.
Right. I'm trying to see if you're going to spill the beans.
Nope.
No, come on. I give a little flavor. You know what I'm saying? I wave my fingers around a little bit by the nose. Come on, man. Just show me that your color bag.
All right. Check this out. All right. You're going to be dealing with this subject, man, at 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday. Be there.
Yeah, I kind of figured you was going to do that, how your voice talking. All right. Fair enough. I just bite my fingernails off until the Sabbath comes.
Well, with all that being said, everybody, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Please read your Bibles, people.
Shalom, family.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show.